Thanks, Ray. The campaign I've been involved in is Disrupt Burrup Hub, which ties in hugely. In fact, we ride the coattails of Save Our Songlines. Natural gas is put forward by companies and governments as this transition fuel. You might have heard this rhetoric. The concept here is that by shifting to gas rather than coal, we'll significantly reduce emissions from the more crude fossil fuels and provide a nice intermediary step between our current energy system and the new net zero future, which we all agree needs to happen. Through this justification, we see politicians like WA Premier Roger Cook admitting that WA's emissions will need to continue climbing in the short term. And he faces no real backlash. Like, there's a few angry activists like me who yell about it, but otherwise he doesn't.
Chase him up the hill.
Yeah. But it's all part of this transition plan that Liberal governments have put forward. But this plan is obviously ill-equipped to address the issue. So the IPCC's sixth assessment report, published in 2021, made clear the scale of this problem. It highlighted that government's plans was likely to result in warming closer to 3 degrees above pre-industrial levels by 2100. And indeed, in order to limit warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius at 2100 with no overshoot, I quote, "deep, rapid, and sustained reductions in greenhouse gas emissions would be needed." Certainly, the approval of the largest fossil fuel project in the Southern Hemisphere, which Woodside's Burrup Hub is, would not be keeping in that recommendation. I'm sure you all agree. What is worse is in all of these recommendations and data published, it was all occurred before a massive expansion in fossil fuel investments and approvals all around the world following the coronavirus lockdowns and Russia's invasions of Ukraine. So in the coronavirus lockdown, we obviously had this global recession, supply chains shut down, and in the wake of that, governments were really keen to get the economy back up and running. So they massively needed extra fuel to fuel this expansion of the global supply chain. And then, just as that was kicking off, Russia invaded Ukraine, and suddenly a massive supply of fossil fuel energy to Western Europe, which is a huge economy, was cut off due to sanctions placed on Russia. And because of this combination of extraordinary market forces, the fossil fuel sector made $4 trillion in profit in 2022. And just to put that in context, that's more than the entire GDP of Japan.
Oh my God.
So we're talking about massive amounts of money. And of course, what are capitalists going to do with this money that they make? When they're making a heap of money in fossil fuels, they're going to reinvest that in more fossil fuels.
Yeah.
In this context, the need for climate activism remains imperative for our very survival. And that brings me to Disrupt Burrup Hub. The Burrup Hub is not one fossil fuel project, it's four fossil fuel projects. And then there's also, as Ray's been fighting against, some fertilizer plants that sort of get their fuel and get their material from the fossil fuel projects that are there. So we've got two gas plants that process the gas, which is Woodside North West Shelf and Pluto LNG. And then we've got two offshore gas extraction projects, which is Scarborough Gas, and then 1,000 kilometers away off of Scott Reef, we've got the Browse Basin. And where we're at right now is Scarborough Gas is approved and in construction. I think it's due to open pretty soon in the next couple of years. Murray Watt has just to approve the continued function of the North West Shelf gas plant until 2070. But the only way it seems that that is going to happen on a feasible level is if they're allowed to extract from Browse. So Browse is sort of seen as this critical part that we need to stop. And so my involvement with the Disrupt Burrup Hub campaign is looking to stop this industrial expansion on the Burrup Peninsula, also known as Murujuga. So even though Browse is over, well, sorry, it's hundreds of kilometers, almost 1,000 kilometers away, the stopping of Browse is an integral part of stopping this industrial expansion. Without Browse, this doesn't go ahead. And look, Ray's touched on the cultural impacts and the impacts on the Rocker. And, you know, I can't speak. Being a settler, I can't speak on like the deep emotional bond that is there. But what I will say is, like, when you're there, and I'm not a spiritual person, I'm someone that's very, very tied to the material world, but you feel it. Like, this is rock art that has existed for 50,000 years. We're talking about since the dawn of time, people have been creating stories here. And you're looking at this rock art, you can hear it in the background, and then you turn around and there's literally these giant machines that are just cutting through the earth. They are ripping this country up. And yeah, you don't have to be spiritual, you feel that. What this highlights is sort of an underlying principle of capitalism, right? The extraction and degradation of resources in one area and the concentration of the benefits from that extraction in another. And we talk about global imperialism and the divide between the global north and the global south, but I think Murujuga kind of highlights how that functions in countries as well as between countries. So we see the creation of these relative peripheries, and it's necessary for the current capitalist class. We see it in this local scale through underfunding of low socioeconomic suburbs at the expense of gentrified city centers, mm-hmm. through to the global scale of separation of the so-called global north and global south countries. The targets of periphery are people who have been dehumanized. And this is most apparent in Woodside, as well as state and federal government's lack of concern for traditional custodian history and culture that is quite literally being erased by these chemical emissions. The reason this happens ties back to the Marxist concept of metabolism. And it's a simple idea, right? The idea that what you take through your extraction of natural resources literally takes something. And that is taking away something that has been put there by natural processes that are often incredibly slow. And capitalism requires ongoing growth and extraction at an increasing rate. And so the only way that we can account for the problems and consequences that this causes is by shifting the problem away to other areas. So this is what we call the metabolic rift, this disconnect between how quickly things regenerate and what capitalism needs to extract. And this has been touched on by eco-socialist thinkers like Kohei Saito and John Bellamy Foster. And I think Disrupt Burrup Hub campaigners, without being explicit about it, do intuitively understand the injustice that is at play here. And while they're not being explicitly anti-capitalist in their messaging, their direct actions do seek to highlight this injustice and show how ordinary people can disrupt this destructive industry. And I think there are two really successful demonstrations of this that I want to highlight. The first is an action performed by Joanna Partica, which sort of kicked off the campaign, where she spray painted the Woodside logo on Fred McCubbin's artwork, Down on His Luck. So Fred McCubbin's artwork is hanging in the West Australian Art Gallery, and it's seen as sort of a masterpiece of colonial artwork. By painting Woodside's logo on it, it sort of draws the connection between the damage that's being done here, and I think it was really, really effective and a fantastic way to kick off the campaign. The second one I want to highlight, although, you know, we can't forget Petrina's locking on to block actual production on Burrup Road, which was awesome. But the second one I want to highlight was performed by Kristen Morrissey, where she let off some gas that is used to alert miners to danger, but she set off this gas in the Perth offices of the Woodside office, which was great. I mean, the symbolism is fantastic, of course, but what's even better is that she actually evacuated those Woodside offices for hours, and so we've actually, like, made a direct impact. She shut off the entire work for hours there. So the aim of their actions is to achieve maximum publicity and media coverage, and they have been very successful in bringing the issue to some level of recognition. To the point that when Federal Environment Minister Murray Watt agreed or seemed to be shaping up to agree to extend the Northwest Shelf, 500 people attended a snap rally outside of WA Parliament at a time of what I would call relatively low organisation and mobilisation in the broader climate movement in WA. And for this success, DBH campaigners have been subject to investigations from state security police forces, frequent home raids, charges raised, dropped, raised again, and there's also mentions of slap suits being levied at some of these campaigners as well. So we're talking lawsuits from Woodside that are potentially going to make these activists personally bankrupt. So we're talking about huge, huge implications here. The campaign has claimed a heavy personal toll on the activists and campaigners, and I think if anyone here wants to extend some solidarity, the simplest way to do that is just to go onto the Disrupt Barrett Pub Chuff page and make a donation to the legal fees, because that really will make a huge difference for the legal battles that are coming.